Start living. Start listening. From features through music to news, reflecting your views, this is
CYTR's thing.
CITR 101.9 FM broadcasting live from Vancouver, UBC.
Accelerated program.
Accelerated programming since 1937.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Spencer Latu Show on CITR 101.9 FM, and I'm your host, Spencer Latu. This is a politics and current event show broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory in UBC's Point Grey campus. I would like to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the unceded territory of the Coast Salish peoples, including the territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations. So a lot to get to today in this short half-hour broadcast, so bear with me here as we try to power through a lot of content, but, in international news, the climate strike was a massive turnout. There was thousands, if not millions, across the world showing up to protest inaction on climate change. So, you know, on its face, seems like a very good exciting change for humanity to do something. However, as we've learned from the past, sometimes doing something, in the case of when Saddam Hussein had allegedly weapons of mass destruction, or in the case of Libya, oh, we must do something. Gaddafi is giving Viagra to soldiers to rape women. What are we going to do? Oh, in Rwanda, why won't, in 1994, why won't the U.S. do something? Why won't the United States do something in Syria, where Assad is quote-unquote gassing his own people, which turned out to be a complete fabrication? So, you know, unfortunately, the same kind of logic and thinking has been applied to climate change, and now there is people that, identify as being on the political left, however, are screaming at the top of the lungs, why won't somebody do something? And with this kind of just a lack of critical thinking, or even a lack of thinking things through, as the case, as I mentioned earlier, with all these quote unquote humanitarian interventions that NATO carried out, ended poorly, and with a lot of media commentators and political pundits saying, why won't somebody do something? So a similar thing is happening here today. And luckily enough, you know, we have the most invaluable resource in understanding this whole Greta, Green New Deal, and climate strike saga. We're very lucky that Corey Morningstar, just an incredible journalist, and has done so much work for over a decade. I mean, you know, I knew nothing about this until I stumbled across her work, and now my eyes have been pried open, and so has everyone else that's seen, you know, seen environmental NGOs and ruling class campaigns in general for what they are. And luckily enough, from her fantastic piece, this is on her blog, The Wrong Kind of Green, the article is "The Manufacturing of Greta Thunberg for Consent, the Behavioral Change Project to Change Everything, Volume 2, Act 5. So if anyone hasn't read the full Volume 1, Acts 1 through 6, and there's actually a book on Amazon, I highly recommend supporting and buying that. And as well, if you have not checked out Volume 2, it is also a must read. And in Volume 2, it starts with some background on We Mean Business, and why We Mean Business comes into the picture. We'll explain that at the end, but some history on this topic. On September 5th, 2014, the Climate Group announced that the launch of We Mean Business would take place later that month on September 22nd, the eve of the UN Climate Summit. In order to catalyze action around climate change and bring it back to the top of the global agenda. The founding partners of We Mean Business are Business for Social Responsibility, the B Team, Richard Branson's philanthropy, Carbon Disclosure Project, CERES, the Climate Group, the Prince of Wales Corporate Leaders Group, the World Business Council for Sustainable Development. So a lot of big players in Europe and North America there. Together, these entities represent the world's most powerful corporations and investors. Ahead of the launch on September 9th, 2014, a press conference was held by Cristina Figueres, Executive Secretary of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC, Mindy Lubber, president of CERES, and Nigel Topping, executive director of Carbon Disclosure Project. The conference focused on the role of corporations and investors at the UN Climate Summit and during climate negotiations, as well as the UN Climate Chief expectations from CEOs leading up to Paris 2015. The media contact provided for both the press conference led by Figueres and the We Mean Business launch was that of Callum Grieve of We Mean Business. Grieve, who created and led the first Climate Week NYC in 2009, is identified by WWF as co-founder of We Mean Business. As disclosed in Volume 2, Act 4 of Cory Morningstar's series, Grieve shared the tweet of the lonely girl on a sidewalk, Greta Thunberg, on the very first day of her strike, August 20th, 2018, as the third person to reply to the initial tweet. Grieve would include the following people and institutions: We Don't Have Time, the Climate Museum, Greta Thunberg, Jamie Margolin, youth founder of This Is Zero Hour, Zero Hour, Youth Climate March LA, This Is Zero Hour, Fort Lauderdale, Greenpeace International, Al Gore's Climate Reality Project, and the UNFCCC, the official Twitter account of UN Climate Change. So as you can see, there's a lot of dots that are being connected there. But as you can see, there's a straight line from these investors and corporations and their quote unquote philanthropy, which is really a PR cover to allow those corporations and investments to flourish and make a ton of money off of, because why else would they get involved in it? It's not because they care. It's because they're there to make money. So let's take a quick timeline, because as everybody is seeing with Greta, the believability of a girl with a 16-year-old girl getting global media attention and getting a solar-powered yacht to travel from Europe to the UN is in the realm of just absolutely absurd. And while some people try to uphold this as she's some grassroots activist, Cory has provided a fantastic timeline. So this is a very easy to access timeline. I'll add these tweets into the show notes so anyone can see them and read them for themselves. So Cory writes, "No, this was not co-optation. This was and is PR." She's referring to the Greta Thunberg campaign, which many people on the quote-unquote Twitter left were upholding as some kind of a co-opted, well-meaning grassroots activist. Well, that could not be further from the truth. So May 2018, a teleconference led by 350/Fossil Fuel Rep and Climate Reality Project Al Gore NGO proposes a large climate march. Greta Thunberg partakes in this call, as well as others that transpire. The idea of a strike came about. Thunberg was receptive. May 2018, Rensog is in contact with Greta's mother, Melina Ernman, at a conference. June 2018, the Thunberg social media accounts are created. August 20th, 2018, Greta sits on a lonely sidewalk. Ingmar Rensog, CEO of We Don't Have Time, discovers the lonely girl. We Don't Have Time is a partner of the Climate Reality Project. Rensog would later admit he was informed the week before about the strike via a mailing list from the 350/fossil-free rep. August 20th, 2018, first day of the strike, Lonely Girl plight is shared by We Mean Business co-founder Callum Grieve. So as we mentioned earlier, Callum Grieve is also the founder of We Mean Business, the co-founder of We Mean Business, at least. Grieve is the co-founder and director of Counterculture, a brand development firm specializing in behavioral change campaigns and storytelling. He also created Climate Week New York City for the Climate Group. August 20, 2018, the first day of the strike, the Lonely Girl plight is shared by Sascha Beslick, international financial expert, World Economic Forum, head of sustainable finance, Nordea Bank, and the like. September 1st, 2018, Greta is featured in The Guardian. The photo it uses is from the set taken by Michael Campanella. August 28th, 2018, Martin Thorsland of We Don't Have Time is in the background. So, I mean, there's just a lot going on to, I mean, or just at the point of absolutely absurd that all these are just so happened that these billionaires and investors were just so happening to be surfing the web and find the lonely girl that Callum Grieve, the co-founder of We Mean Business, just happens to see. And so, and to bring it back, what is We Mean Business? Well, this is also from Corey Morningstar. We Mean Business represents 477 investors with $34 trillion U.S. dollars in assets. They have a message for you. This is from September 30th, 2019. Change is coming, whether you like it or not. The words of Greta Thunberg. So on the We Mean Business website, there is a quote from Greta again. The world is waking up and change is coming, whether you like it or not. So what kind of change are we looking for? We're interrogating the people involved and understanding their connections and how they all fit together. But what is this change that's coming? Well, if you all have the time, please check out my interview with Molly Klein, Red Kahina on SoundCloud. It's I'm doing another one soon. It's going to be another must listen just to understand what the political and economic realities are coming out of this campaign is, because the change that's being pushed by Greta is not a bright red future of socialism for the West. But in reality, it's more of this, what I'm going to dub as eco-fascism. So the reason why I call it eco-fascism is because using the guise of the other being climate change brought on by overpopulation and other fascist deflections from the true root of climate change and climate collapse, which is the capitalist system. It's blaming it on the other of innocent people in the global South who have absolutely no carbon footprint compared to anyone in the West or in the developed world. So it's an absolute, it's really just projecting the problems with the climate onto innocent people who really had nothing to do with it, but in fact are living with the consequences of the West, and instead are now being blamed by the West. And now there is a new campaign by the Greta et al. Crowd to push a narrative that we need to transfer $100 trillion worth, which is a seemingly absurd amount of money, but the what is being touted in what's the Green New Deal. So while this is the Green New Deal is being pushed by The Intercept, pushed by Democracy Now!, pushed by every fake left progressive media org as this really revolutionary change, in reality it is the economic principles of ecofascism. So, and as discussed on this program before, the Green New Deal is going to take all the energy intensive production of renewable energy and use our money to pay for that, and which will cause what? More carbon emissions, which apparently everyone is supposed to be upset about. It's going to be used to build 5G smart cities, which are a way for big tech to spy on people. As well, I mean, electric vehicles, come on, you know, the car is the root of North American destruction. I mean, we don't need electrified vehicles. We just need to get rid of the car economy, the car way of life in general, that needs to be abolished. And of course, you know, the Green New Deal is where the, well, where are you going to get the rare earth minerals to build all these renewable projects and to build the 5G smart cities? Where are you going to get the oil required to, you know, put together these massive industrial projects? Well, don't worry, the Green New Deal will be premised upon exporting green technology, or in a simpler term, green imperialism. So using the guise of climate change, as we discussed the last couple of weeks on about green imperialism and Bolivia and Nicaragua and Venezuela, using the guise of the environment and protecting the environment rather than the old one, the yesterday's reasons to go to war of humanitarian intervention, now will become just simply environmental intervention. So, but we'll go back to the economics of it all, but just as a quick refresher, to say that this is in any way radical or socialist couldn't be further from the truth. It's simply capitalist reforms, and if we're going to be subjected to capitalist reforms in a time of absolute capitalist crisis, it's only going to exacerbate problems. And as the tired quote of Lenin, fascism is capitalism in decay. So there's that. So in the Wrong Kind of Green article, The Manufacturing Greta Thunberg for Consent, Volume 2, Act 5, Corey writes a really incredible passage I'd like to share. So the policy and legislation are instrumental to unlocking the public funds for the so-called climate infrastructure projects, predominantly in the global south. Infrastructure and technologies that will be paid by the citizenry to be owned by the billionaires. We must never lose sight that the terrifying news regarding our rapidly deteriorating natural world is real, but the reason for the media saturation, spectacle, has nothing to do with protecting the natural world nor the climate, and everything to do with rebooting global economic growth and saving the capitalist system itself. Consider the global optimist meme shared by We Mean Business. People are desperate for something to happen. The message is this: no one can save you but us. Accept our solutions or die. Another world is possible, but only if that world is designed by the ruling classes that maintain and expand current power structure. One could call this psychological manipulation or hegemonic coercion. This is the gentle transition into the new age of neo-feudalism. Social engineering and behavioral change campaigns have been employed to make hierarchical class invisible in real time. The environmental NGOs comprising the nonprofit industrial complex exist as corporate front groups. They insulate, protect, and assist in the expansion of power structure of existing power structures that facilitate capitalism. NGOs cannot and will not stop climate change because this would be counterintuitive to why they were created. They are funded to the tune of trillions by foundations in which, in many cases, assisted in their development and incubation because they function precisely as they were designed to function. So I will leave it there for the discussion of the NGOs. They're created by billionaires for billionaires. It's that simple. I mean, why would anyone else fund them for trillions of dollars? And no one, I really hope I don't get a serious response, someone claiming to be serious saying that they really do care about the world's problems. But they do care about one problem. This is a issue for many billionaires out there, as we're going to get to. They really care about overpopulation. So this is a great quote from Red Kahina on Twitter. So fascinating that it is. Oh, and sorry, I should say. So the reason why overpopulation is in the news is, if anyone has seen the new World Economic Forum video posted by Greta and David Attenborough, a noted Population Council fellow, there's a lot of fascist PR in there. So Molly writes, so fascinating that it is fragments of language that it is made to sound like a trailer that leaves out crucial things to whet your curiosity and create suspense. Attenborough says tipping points and doesn't tell us what he means. Jane Goodall delivers a list that the audience is meant to puzzle over. Are these the tipping points? And yet nothing is specified. And her list begins to a different sentence and a different speaker. It is deliberately a mere fascismal of sense and language that is empty. So at the article itself, at the video itself, it's really shocking, the portrayal of people of color, and Molly hits on this right away. And look, it is not over Attenborough's or Greta's image as they produce this immense waste to make this video, which is itself waste that we are told the, quote, human race produces more waste than it really should. Attenborough, Greta, and Goodall filmed in their highly wasteful and polluting and also exploited activities are presented as wise angels in the clean, spare, Spartan void of spectacle where they appear like angels to rescue the planet from this wasteful race. Yeah, so another thing too, when you're watching the video, just notice the one time the human race is mentioned, it's only people of color. So, I mean, you know, it's pretty, it reeks of really brutal overpopulation, fascist propaganda. So, but this is also, this is not the first time that this happened. So I'll link this thread as well. Molly wrote an amazing thread on the really fascist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Molly Crabapple Green New Deal video, which, you know, has just the most racist drawings of indigenous people and black people, you know, and it's the Nazi symbol tree I can't really get it across on the radio, but definitely check out this thread for yourself. It's pretty incredible what AOC passes off as quote unquote progressive. So to conclude, you know, why I call the Greta campaign and the whole Green New Deal ask, well, politically and economically, you can see that it's the abandonment of class struggle and just saying that, oh, we're all in this together, which is another aspect Corey gets on to her hits on in her article and describes how the Rockefellers and Naomi Klein work together to push the this changes everything and we need everyone narrative, because that's a flattening of class conflict when in reality it's, you know, we're in an eternal struggle of workers versus bosses at this point. You know, the bourgeoisie and the proletariat are a battle. We're not on the same team. We're not in this together. I mean, this was caused by the bourgeoisie. This is not caused by people who have, you know, this is caused by people who have 50 yachts, not people who live in squalor in places where the United States has raped, pillaged, and plundered. So it's absurdity to even suggest that we're all in this together, where there's people with over $100 billion and some of the richest people on earth behind the Greta campaign, obviously, like Bill Gates, a noted overpopulation myth pusher and population control advocate as well. So there is that. Yeah, taking a step back to David Attenborough. So this is from Cordeliers on Twitter. I'll have this thread linked as well. Malthusians David Attenborough and Jane Goodall, so both openly associated with Greta Thunberg and are in the World Economic Forum video, sit on the board of the racist population control organization Population Matters. So patron Sir David Attenborough. Quote, the human population can no longer be allowed to grow in the same old uncontrolled way. If we do not take charge of our population size, then nature will do it for us, and it is the poor people of the world who will suffer most. So a lot of Nazism in there to unpack, but to say the least, that uncontrolled way, what do you mean uncontrolled? You know, do you mean that not under the auspices of white control, that there's too many people of color having children? Well, that's not even the problem. The problem is that the developed nations use too many resources, so that now the planet's life support systems are being destroyed. So that's really what's going on. Sir David Attenborough, Jane Goodall, founder Jane Goodall Institute and United Nations Messenger of Peace. So this is Jane Goodall on population. It's our population growth that underlies just about every single one of the problems that we've inflicted on the planet. If there were just a few of us, then the nasty things we do wouldn't really matter and Mother Nature would take care of it. But there are so many of us. So, well, some more pretty blatant Nazism from Jane Goodall there. And then Cordeliers goes on. It's revealing that this charity campaign to ban Syrian refugees from Britain, their purported interest in climate change is cover for eugenics. These people want to keep Europe white. So in a sentence, really summed up the hypocrisy and also the true agenda of these people. And another work by Cordeliers that's a must read is is on the Gates Foundation, that citations needed really plagiarized, considering that Bill Gates himself, you know, cites global warming's cause being overpopulation. So as you can see, there's a trend amongst these people to really blame the world's problems. And I mean, Jane Goodall says every problem is related to overpopulation. But of course, you know, this is a fascist obfuscation. The real problem in our world is global U.S. hegemony and capitalist imperialist exploitation of the planet and people. That's the true problem. You know, instead of building commodities to exchange and extract worker surplus value, that's the problem. You know, exploiting each other and exploiting the planet is the problem. Not that there's too many people, but of course, you know, these people would much rather blame poor people who contributed absolutely nothing to a carbon footprint than to obviously the lords of society. I mean, the richest people on planet Earth don't make it in the top people to blame Jane Goodall. Like it's absurd. Just the fact that these people are gaining so much steam, and this is another issue that I tried to touch on earlier, which was saying that, you know, the uncritical acceptance of these, you know, almost demigods into the mainstream political discourse and championing them as, you know, hit retweet, hit like, hit share on Facebook, you know, just by boosting these people, you know, and letting them speak for you, which a lot of people choose to do for whatever reason, say, like Greta is finally spreading the message. Well, no, they're not finally spreading the message. This is a clear, clearly crafted and well put together PR campaign to make the people who invested in this PR campaign extremely wealthy. It can't in any way be what civil society wants. And this is the issue with NGOs being so well-funded. They quickly take the place of what actual people want on the ground. So, of course, you know, people want climate action, whatever that means. You know, obviously no one wants anything bad to happen, but, you know, to step in and say, oh, we need to depopulate the earth and we need to take everyone's pension funds and put them into, oh yeah, the final issue, which is being pushed, geoengineering. I mean, this is another tweet from Cordeliers. In the wake of Greta Mania, the Environmental Despopulation Fund is going all out in support of big money, corporate friendly, high tech carbon fixes to be funded by the people's money. So, and the Green New Deal explicitly states carbon removal is a key part of the Green New Deal. And what is this really for? You know, this is something I found in Corey's work. The vast majority of sequestered CO2, so carbon capture geoengineering, so taking carbon out of the sky to deal with climate change, and accompanying pipeline, the vast majority of sequestered CO2 and accompanying pipeline infrastructure has been utilized to pump more oil out of existing and exhausted oil wells, i.e. enhanced oil recovery. So it's not even a climate change solution. It's just a way to keep the status quo going on literal fumes. So when the oil wells don't have enough oil, well, we'll just take the carbon that was burned and shoot it back in there. It's a very bleak moment in society. It's a very bleak moment for humanity, just because to see the amount of people being misled and the amount of people covering for the misleaders, covering for the people who are lying and mimicking the left. And that's the key to fascists, is fascists will just steal the language of the left and the ideas of the left to make them suit their own interests. They don't have new ideas. This is the same thing as calling, you know, your fascist party the National Socialist Party. It's just a way to trick people into thinking that they're working for their best interest, when in reality they're being scammed. So that's unfortunately all the time I have for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to hear more, you can check out an Apple iTunes podcast, and stay tuned to CITR for some more fantastic programming. You can also find me on SoundCloud, Spencer Latu. Thank you so much for listening.
we so murderous with the rhythm murder us. Jazzism is it, isn't it, what it's not. I'm a talking goat like Bethella with an average haircut. Fair stop, fair law, if this seems fair luck. Hair tough until my soul, and now I really gotta tell you how the world thinks. You how the world thinks. You how the world thinks. Be like me. Motherfucking punkin' dogs uncontrollably mischievous, societal, manifestic, cosmic hell. I can tell you don't agree. Look and see. Greedily seeping, poor source and bore drip drop.
Ding dong.
Purple diarrhea and defensive egos. Heal real egos. Free at most fear from the depths of our minds. Family human finds rhymes divine. Now I tell them in time.